there's a great big elephant in the room in the Penn State scandal, and it seems that very few, if any, are willing to talk about it. Oh, we'll talk about it today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, this is the place to be right now. You are listening to the right radio station, to the right radio program, or tuning into the right site online. We're going to cover some really important ground, and ground that may not be covered anywhere else, ground that, even as I come on the air, I'm becoming aware, is too hot for many to handle, but we'll handle it here. We're also going to be doing a little survey through the broadcast, so while I'll be discussing one major issue, I'm going to be doing a survey and taking some calls along the way. Here's my survey question first. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Yes, Michael Brown here, delighted to be with you on this Monday. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. My survey question, but not the main subject for this hour: would you vote for Newt Gingrich to be president? On the one hand, he is a statesman. On the one hand, he has tremendous wisdom. He speaks about the importance of faith and God and Judeo-Christian heritage in America. He shines strongly in the debate setting and could represent our positions wisely. He's even talked about same-sex marriage as just an aberration that will pass in history. That being said, the man has been married three times, two divorces directly related to affairs the woman he's presently married to. It's a woman that he had an affair with. Can you trust someone like that? He's also converted to Catholicism. For some of you, that'd be a plus. For some, a minus. For some, neutral. But he converted to Catholicism in 2009. But more importantly, on the morality issue, could you trust someone like that to be our president? Would you vote for him? Or would you say, hey, he's obviously got his personal life in order, I trust that, but or I'm just electing him for his political leadership? So that's the survey question, and you can give me a yes or no, and a very short answer. Why? Because I won't be focusing so much on that. I just want to get your feedback this hour about that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich, yes or no? Okay. What is it with the Penn State scandal that seems to be too hot to handle? What is it about the Penn State scandal, the pedophile scandal, the alleged acts of Jerry Sandusky, who was not only a coach there for some years, but also had his Second Mile Foundation, a charity to help boys? Listen to this interaction. This is on Rush Limbaugh's program last year. I'll just read from the transcript. The caller is saying, I think the whole thing is so sick. I was reading the paper. It's in our local papers, and I'm just disgusted by the whole thing. I think it's like a prime example of the elites covering their backs and getting away with stuff that the rest of us wouldn't. I mean, it's sick what this guy did. And then to give him the slip or let him slide and keep it in-house, it's just disgusting. Then Rush Limbaugh says this: you know, if I really wanted to retire today, I could answer you in a way that would end my career. Now, look, Rush Limbaugh, whether you like him or not, is a fearless guy. I mean, he attacks people in ways you think he's got to have bodyguards to the hilt. The way he goes after certain people in groups, and, you know, calls Louis Farrakhan Calypso Louie, let alone his attacks on President Obama or President Clinton, and on and on and on. And I mentioned Louis Farrakhan Calypso Louie thing from Rush's lips because you imagine some of the nation in Islam are not happy with him saying that and could want to take action against him. He says, if I really wanted to retire today, I could answer you in a way that would end my career. Well, of course, I'm therefore not going to say it. I just want to say one thank you. And he goes on. And then the caller is wondering, because Rush says there's a part of the story, it's glaring, it's right in front of everybody, and nobody's got the guts to say it. Nobody, including me. I don't have the guts to bring it up. Nobody does. What's he talking about? What is he talking about?
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My survey question for you today, would you vote for Newt Gingrich to be president, yes or no, and why? He's got wonderful qualifications in many ways. On the other hand, there are serious moral questions that would impinge on the question of trustworthiness and character. You can weigh in on Ask Dr. Brown on our Facebook page. A lot of very interesting comments there already. Okay, so Rush Limbaugh on the air last week talking about the Penn State scandal and the firing of Joe Paterno, etc. He says this again, that there's a part of the story. If he wanted to end his career, he could answer in a way that would end his career. He said, well, of course, I'm therefore not going to say it. He says, there's a part of the story. It's glaring. It's right in front of everybody, and nobody's got the guts to say it. Nobody, including me. I don't have the guts to bring it up. Nobody does. The caller says, what's that? Rush, nobody has the guts to actually give the explanation for what was going on and why there was trepidation in reporting it, and that's all I'll say. If you can figure it out on your own, fine and dandy. Okay, is Rush saying that the elephant in the room, and by the way, I've got a more severe elephant in the room that I'm going to bring up here. Is Rush saying that the elephant in the room, in the Penn State scandal, is that this was a man abusing boys, abusing teens, young teens and preteens, and therefore the acts were homosexual in nature, because of which no one will dare touch this. No one in major media will focus on that aspect, or that is why the case was not reported more widely. I was on a radio interview earlier today, and the host raised this very issue and said to me, and I said in response, well, I can't answer why things were not done, why there was more of a cover-up, because I think everyone is outraged, whether it's boys being abused or girls being abused. But if there was a concern, if there was a concern about this pointing to homosexual abuse, this pointing to pedophilia in the gay community where it exists. I know the vast majority of homosexual men in America were repulsed over these reports, just like heterosexual men were. I understand that. But if there was any kind of cover-up because it was homosexual, just if. I was asked this question, and again, if it had been girls being abused, would they have reported it more quickly? Just a question. If this man had been abusing girls, would it have been reported more quickly? Now, I wrote an article last week on townhall.com that was entitled Dead Flies and the Legacy of Joe Paterno. It begins by saying this. There's one verse in the Bible that starts with the words dead flies, found in the King James translation of Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Or in more contemporary language, using the New Living Translation, as dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. Of course, you could say what happened with Joe Paterno. If we don't know all the details, but it would appear it was far more than a little foolishness for failure to follow through and to be sure that someone that was abusing boys or had been caught at least abusing one would be reported to authorities and was no longer able to access the campus and on and on. I just didn't say more because we don't have all the facts yet. But here's the interesting thing. Some of the comments that followed the article, again, I don't read all of them, but I spotted a few. And somebody was making the point, well, Jerry Sandusky was straight. The man involved with this abuse case was straight. And another one who identified himself as true conservative wrote, straight? You're truly deranged. His pedophilia involved boys. And you leftist gay idiot. This is typical interaction sometimes on these websites. So then someone replied named Thomas, you were saying that because Sandusky molested boys, not girls, he must therefore be homosexual, despite the fact that he has a wife and family and has led, as far as we know, a Christian heterosexual life. Oh, yeah, very Christian, if the allegations are true. Using your own trollish logic, a person who commits a sin cannot be Christian, since the Bible clearly tells us we are all sinners. One must conclude by your troll logic that there are no Christians. What a wonderfully vacuous hole the inside of your head must be. All right, hang on. if a man is attracted to young men or boys, that is a homosexual attraction. If a man is attracted to young women or girls, that is a heterosexual attraction. Yes, a perverted extension of those attractions, and in the case of homosexual, a perverted extension of a wrong attraction to start. But to say the guy was straight, no. Straight men, if they are pedophiles, abuse girls. The scandal with many priests in the Catholic Church abusing boys and young men, that was a homosexual scandal, was it not? Was it not? Well, that was not a heterosexual scandal. The great majority of the abuse was homosexual, and yet you hardly hear that angle raised. It's too politically correct. Trust me, I know it firsthand. It is too politically incorrect. So I wrote an article. I wrote it yesterday afternoon. It's not out yet. I don't know exactly where it will get posted, if it'll be on our own blog or elsewhere. And all right, I can feel the attacks coming, but I just want you to hear me, all right? It's called The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet. Let gay activists come on this broadcast and correct me. Let straight allies come on this broadcast and correct me. Let others weigh in any public setting that can be fair and honest and correct me if there's error in what I am about to say, all right? I want to repeat that I personally believe that the great majority of homosexual men in America who heard the reports about the activities of Jerry Sandusky were also repulsed. These alleged reports, or reports, I should say, of alleged pedophile acts, they were, I believe, repulsed just as heterosexual men were repulsed. The vast majority of homosexual men. So if you're a gay man listening and you say, man, that was sick, that's the ugliest thing I've ever heard of, That is the reaction I would expect you to have, okay? The problem is there is a pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet that very few want to talk about. And if you dare bring this up, you talk about getting vilified. You talk about getting mocked, rejected, put out. Okay, am I saying this is an issue having to do with same-sex marriage? Nope, I'm not raising that. Others have discussed that. That's not what I am discussing at all. What I'm discussing is the celebration and exaltation of men in, quote, gay history. Gay education networks want these people taught on in schools. They want it to be celebrated that so-and-so was gay, that this famous man was homosexual. And yet, in many cases, these men were pederasts. These men are on record as pederasts or pedophiles. And yet, gay activists still celebrate their names, still want them exalted in our history lessons. So we'll start here. And if you don't have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, get it. Make sure you get it. And read the documentation carefully because I lay these things out. No, I am not. This is not a subtle way or backhanded way or sly way of saying that most homosexuals are pedophiles. No, I don't believe that's the case, especially in this generation here in America. I don't believe that's the case. But I believe that there is a pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet, and we need to open the door to that closet and expose it. Every parent listening, I will be very careful in the language that I use, all right? But you need to understand this because these things could be taught in your children's schools. GLSEN, Gay Lesbian Straight Educational Network, which is better described as the Gay Lesbian Sex Educational Network, has long advocated for the celebration of homosexual history using tools like North American History Game Cards, where elementary school children learn that famous Americans like Allen Ginsberg and Walt Whitman were gay. You say, Mike, how do you know this? Because I ordered the material for them. I ordered, for example, the GLSEN Lunchbox 2 with its training curriculum with the actual cards, okay? I've got the material. There's no mystery. And there are plenty of websites that would verify this in gay educational curricula. What the children don't learn about the people like Walt Whitman or Allen Ginsberg, was that these men were also pederasts. That Ginsberg was both a member and a defender of NAMBLA, the notorious North American Man-Boy Love Association, and that he infamously said, attacks on NAMBLA stink of politics, witch hunting for profit, humorlessness, vanity, anger, and ignorance. He said, I'm a member of NAMBLA because I love boys too. Everybody does who has a little inhumanity. Yes, sickening. Sickening. But he, look, there is a gay synagogue in New York City that's had special nights honoring Allen Ginsberg. Well, if we're outraged over what Jerry Sandusky did, okay, Ginsberg may not have forcibly done this to boys, but he did similar things. Where's the outrage? Oh, there's more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Some very, very interesting comments of folks weighing in on Facebook, on our Ask Dr. Brown page. My survey question, but not the focus of this hour, my survey question, would you vote for Newt Gingrich to be president? On the one hand, terrific politician, statesman, full of wisdom, information, moral truth. On the other hand, questions about his own morality in that he was married for three times and two affairs that we know about. Would you vote for him? 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask D.R. Brown. What I'm focused on, though, today's broadcast is very heavy stuff. The pedophile element in the gay in the gay activist closet. To repeat, I believe that the great majority of homosexual men deplore the concept of pedophilia as well. It is sad to say, though, that gay activists in their history lessons and elsewhere want to celebrate the memory of men who were known as pederasts. And some of the gay icons in our society today advocate these things. Not physical kidnapping and abuse of a child, but the validity of relations, what they call, you ready for a sick term? You ready to gag? What they call intergenerational intimacy. During a radio interview earlier this year on the Rick Amato show, Jimmy LaSalvia of GOP Proud, or Go Proud, which is conservative gay political organization, LaSalvia said this: I happen to think that a good school teacher, when they're teaching literature, would mention that Oscar Wilde, when they're teaching his work, would mention that Oscar Wilde was locked in an asylum because he was gay. Well, would they also mention that he was a boy lover and that he wrote about his passionate sexual encounters with young teens no older than some of the boys allegedly molested by Sandusky? Are they going to talk about that in the schools too? You see why I raise these issues? You see the depth of concern I have about what is being taught to our children in schools and the sexualizing of children. Here's a quote I have in this article that we haven't posted yet, the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. This article draws from material carefully documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America. As noted by Jim Kepner, formerly curator of the International Gay and Lesbian Archives in Los Angeles. Quote, if we reject the boy lovers in our midst today, we'd better stop waving the banner of the ancient Greeks, where pedophilia was practiced, of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Oscar Wilde, Walt Whitman, and others. We'd better stop claiming that as part of them as part of our heritage unless we are broadening our concept of what it means to be gay today. Remember that SB 48, mandating the celebration of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender history in all California schools for all children in all grades, is now law. The outrage over the alleged pedophile acts of Sandusky is only matched by the gay silence over the pedophile acts of Oscar Wilde, Walt Whitman, and others. There's more to say. Hey, look, there's already Harvey Milk Day in California. There is already Harvey Milk Day in California, And there's some disturbing aspects of the history and life of Harvey Milk. It goes on, and this, let me repeat what Jim Kepner said. Again, this man was formerly the curator of the International Gay and Lesbian Archives in Los Angeles. If we reject the boy lovers in our midst today, we'd better stop waving the banner of the ancient Greeks of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Oscar Wilde, Walt Whitman, and others. We'd better stop claiming them as part of our heritage unless we are broadening our concept of what it means to be gay today. Why the extreme outrage, the absolutely rightful outrage, the absolutely correct outrage over the alleged acts of Jerry Sandusky. And yet this teaching about people who had similar interests, you're gonna now celebrate them in our children's schools. This is outrageous. And you can do something about this. You can vote. As a parent, you can get involved in your schools. You can get involved in what's happening with your kids. And we can pray and we can stand for righteousness and we can love people into the kingdom that are confused and lost. 866-34-TRUTH. We will interrupt some of this intense discussion with some questions, comments about would you vote for Newt Gingrich as president? Let me grab a call or two, and then we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Jeffrey in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
My pleasure, Dr. Brown. You said some things about the situation in Pennsylvania, which I wanted to bring up, but you've already pretty much fitted over it. And
did you have similar thoughts before hearing me?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And it's never brought up, of course. Pedophile is just basically a child, but pedophile or pedophilia is really homosexual action on a child. And Gingrich is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and I know that all of the presidents in the last 30 years or so are members, but that alone would eliminate him from me. And of course,
if someone just tuned in, Jeffrey, and they haven't heard my broadcast up to this, well, I've been talking about aspects of the Penn State scandal that others don't want to touch. And then I've also had a survey question, would you vote for Newt Gingrich? So we're not tying those in, but for the sake of others. So, Jeffrey, the moral questions or the multiple marriage question would not be the biggest issue for you about Newt Gingrich. It would be other connections, other political stances.
Well, Dr. Brown, when you mention all of those, you have to throw them all together.
Okay, fair enough. But there are other... other issues as well. In other words, he's not your ideal candidate, even if...
Absolutely not. But I'm concerned that Republicans don't really have a good, strong candidate. We hear about McCain recently, or Kane, and even though he's another black man, that doesn't bother me so much. It's just I don't think the country's going to go for another black in a row. And
got it. All right, hey Jeff, I got to run.
Because whacking him.
Yeah, we got a break here. Yeah, obviously, I would love to be able to vote for a black president because I couldn't in conscience vote for President Obama. But we have to evaluate everybody, not by the color of their skin, but by, as King said, their character and obviously their political stances. Okay, we've never done this before. You can only do this. We don't have this available online in this way. Many of you know I wrote a commentary on Jeremiah. I'm thrilled to hear the responses as I'm teaching on Jeremiah, people using it. It's over 550 pages, but totally usable and accessible. And it comes in a big volume, over 900 pages, together with a commentary on Ezekiel and Lamentations as well. It normally sells, excuse me, for $45, but you can get it today for $35, including a two-hour DVD where I give an introduction to the book of Jeremiah, and I also cover the first chapter in depth. We don't have this available for sale separately, but it's a special offer today. Call and get it at 1-800-278-9978. Great, great resources. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are tackling issues that perhaps others don't want to tackle. If I'm rightly understanding comments by Rush Limbaugh, who's as fearless a spokesman as any you're going to find, whether you like him or not, he's as fearless a voice as you're going to find. If I'm understanding him correctly, he's saying that he wouldn't even comment on this, doesn't have the guts to, otherwise it could end his career. But of course, we are commenting on this. 866-34-TRUTH, and I'm taking it further than I think even Rush would have taken it, discussing the pedophile element in the gay element. Keep saying element. Elephant. The pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've also got on the less intense side, but still very serious, a survey question. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich as president? Would his past moral failures weigh more heavily on you than his political wisdom, or would he just disqualify himself for other reasons politically? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Thanks for the reminder, Joey. There's a clip I want to play just to give you a redemptive side of what was happening at Penn State. You had a big football game, two major teams in a very pivotal game in the college football schedule this past Saturday. There was a bomb threat. There was a lot of controversy about what was going to happen at the game. Would there be protests? The first game in almost 50 years without Coach Paterno there for the players. A total fixture there in the university, now fired for his failure to act more strongly in the Jerry Sandusky scandal. And a reminder for all of us, think of being Jerry Sandusky, if guilty. Think of being that man. Think of being his family. Think of the consequence of our sins. Think of the consequence of our actions. Think of the extraordinary damage that comes because of sin, because of yielding to fleshly desire and temptation. Oh, it's bigger than just our individual lives. So these young men gather to play football. It's an emotional day. It's a difficult time. What's going to happen in the stadium? How are they going to react? Well, they on their own, in other words, this was not known that this was going to happen. They gather together in the middle of the field, and a coach from Nebraska leads them in prayer. I want you to hear this prayer. This was all the players from both teams kneeling down. Not that everyone was a believer, but obviously there were many believers among them. Listen to this extraordinary prayer that was prayed before the game on Saturday.
Every one of these young men have been called to this platform today. Lord, we know that we don't have control of all the events that took place this week, but we do know that you are bigger than it all. And we give you the glory that you're going to protect this stadium today and this town and these universities, Father, and these students. You would give great sense to all of them, Lord. Remove the foolishness, and that your common sense would reign shine. Father God, there are a lot of little boys around the country today who are watching this game. And they're trying to figure out what the definition of manhood is all about. Father, this is it right here. I pray that this game would be a training ground of what manhood looks like. That we would compete with fierce intensity, with the honor and the gifts and the talents that you've given us. And may we be reminded, Lord, as it says in your word in John 1:14, that Jesus is full of grace and truth. May the truth be known. May justice be known. Would you protect the victims that got persecuted more than this whole deal?
Now, it just so happens that the crowd was getting loud in the background, so you can't hear the end of the prayer in Jesus' name. But what a remarkable prayer. Prayer for the protection of the victims. Prayer for the boys watching the game wondering what manhood is. Prayer for the players. Prayer for the protection of all in the stadium, for the city there. So there are people with their heads on their shoulders looking to Jesus in the midst of an extraordinarily difficult time. Back with your calls. Stay with us.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you this Monday. I'll tell you what, if you all just want to take a second to clear your throat, not sure what happened there. All right, everybody's got their throat clear. Callers got your throats clear, ready to weigh in. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. My survey question, but not the main topic today, would you vote for Newt Gingrich as president? Does he qualify as the man we want to vote for in many ways in terms of his wisdom, his stance as a statesman, his knowledge of history, his stance on the importance of faith and morality? Or are there other things that would disqualify him, including the fact that he's married three times? As much as I deplore many of the stands of our president, Mr. Obama, I think the fact that he is married to the same woman and raising his kids is a great example, especially to the African-American community. I'm pleased for that, while I'm grieved over other things. What happened with having a man who's been married three times, the result of two affairs in the White House, or is there a place for repentance and redemption? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, that's not the main focus, but it is our background survey question. I'm probably going to talk more about the Newt Gingrich issue in the next hour. Those that want to catch that later online. And the big issue we've talked about today is the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. To be clear, I do not believe that the great majority of homosexual men are pedophiles or pederasts. I do not believe that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not hinting at that. However, I want to make clear that while there is outrage, rightful outrage, absolutely rightful outrage, sickeningly grievous outrage over the reports of the alleged acts of Jerry Sandusky on boys and young men, it is equally outrageous that gay activists want us to celebrate in history men who are known for similar acts in their own lives, be they consensual or other, similar acts in their own lives with people under the age of consent or massive generational differences in ages. That is the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet. I've got a few more quotes I want to share with you that are more shocking than what's come before. But first, back to the phones. Frank in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. You're absolutely correct, and I want to address some of these quotes that I heard you mention, quoting some of these homosexuals. In the case of Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, both of those men, neither one of them were homosexual, even though they would like you to believe that. None of Michelangelo's biographers wrote that there was no evidence of him having a sexual relationship with anybody, a man or a woman, within his lifetime. And in the case of Da Vinci, there was a trumped-up charge with him as far as a child was concerned. And it went to court. It was because of one of his rivals, because they wanted one of the commissions in Italy. And it was shown to be false, and it was thrown out. As a matter of fact, both of these... Michelangelo was a very strong believer, too.
Frank, let me just say this. And this is the important thing. If there is evidence for homosexuality in these men's lives, it is on a pederast level. In other words, that's the whole point. As you know, the accusations against them were accusations including pederasty. So when gay activists first want us to say that they were homosexuals, well, if they were, and I'm fully aware that there's evidence that they weren't, so thank you for bringing that up. But if they were, they were pederasts. Where are the gay activists telling us that? Where is the outrage over that? But, okay, back
right,
to
right, I understand.
Yep, go ahead.
Also, I wanted to say, I'll make a comment about Gingrich if you want later, but the John Jay College of Criminal Justice here in New York City did an independent study upon the, because I want to be fair with the Catholic Church, too, the abuses in the priesthood going back 50 years in the Catholic Church. And what they found, Michael, was essentially that only between 3 and 5% of the priesthood were involved in these, and most of these men were homosexual, were involved in these abuses. Now, if one priest steps out of line, it's one too many. But to listen to the media, they would have you believe that the entire priesthood was degenerate.
Yeah.
When in fact they have like a 96% success rate as far as dealing with children and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the problem, of course, and look, we have scandals with evangelical leaders that are horrific and terrible. We
yes.
have scandals with religious leaders across the board professing to be Protestant, Christian, etc. So when I bring those issues up, I bring them up to say that the issue, in fact, within the Catholic priesthood was a homosexual issue, not just a pedophile issue.
Definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate the men who, out of love for God and love for their church, want to be celibate for life, as Paul said that he would live and as Jesus himself lived. I understand the desire to do that, and I believe it is given to some, but to mandate it for all, which is unbiblical, because Paul plainly teaches that a leader should be a husband of one wife. So to mandate it for all is when you're guaranteed to be asking for trouble.
Yeah,
so,
but that's when Michael does. It's not mandated for all. In other words, people go in with their eyes open as far as this is concerned. And
but the only way to be
the
a
husband
priest,
of one wife. What that means is that he's not to have two or three wives.
Oh,
that's
exactly
what he means.
But there's no way that Paul was thinking you couldn't have any. In other words, the cat. So that's the problem, to come into service on that level.
Well, you like could. You can, like, for example, if you're married and then you want to become a priest, the Catholic Church will accept you for that. So it's not that they're against that. It's just that they.
Well, what do you do though? How can you serve as a priest and be ordained as a priest while still married?
If you're married first, say I'm married and I want to become a priest like 3 years from now, right?
All right.
And I say I want to become a Catholic priest, they will take me even though I'm married.
But you can't serve as a married man.
You can't be a priest first and then get married. That's what
you're
saying.
But you can't serve as a married man as a priest.
Sure you can.
Sure you
can. The Catholic Church does it all the time.
So you're telling me that there are parish priests that are ordained and recognized by the Catholic Church that are married men?
Yeah, if they were married first. In
other words, why wouldn't they just get married first? I mean, I everything I understand is the opposite of that. But tell you what, Frank. Weigh in quick on Gingrich, because I want to get to some other calls.
Yeah, one of the problems, there is moral problems there, Michael, but one of the problems I have with Gingrich is that, as I seem to remember, he was very, he pushed for NAFTA very hard, and I think that helped to rupture our economy and our jobs, you know.
Okay,
so,
got it.
I don't know about Gingrich, you know.
All right, hey, thanks for weighing in. And friends, the Catholic issue, according to everything I understand, if you're married, you cannot be a priest, period. Anyone want to correct Frank or me, because one of us is completely wrong on that? 866-34-TRUTH. Right, we'll take a couple more Newt questions, and then I'm going to finish up sharing what I wrote in this article, which is not posted anywhere yet, but it will be, The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet. James in Stockbridge, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
First of all, I think you ought to run for president, because the fact that you wrote the new book shows that you will not bow down to pressure, and so we need somebody like that.
Yeah, you also need someone who's qualified to be president, which ain't me. But thanks, James. I appreciate the joke. But
fully understood. First of all, I real quickly want to touch on your previous caller. There are some Catholics that are priests that are married. A friend that I have, John Michael Talbert, who is one of the contemporary Christian early artists, is now got a whole Catholic parish, and he's married and got children.
And so, he's allowed to be in relations with his wife?
Yes. His wife and kids live with him in the monastery.
Right, but he's allowed to have relations with his wife?
Yes.
Okay, so then why, oh, okay, if that's the case, then why wouldn't priests just marry and then later train for the priesthood?
I agree with that. That's I mean.
I mean, if that's the case, I understand the John Michael Talbot situation, and I know his monastic background and all of that. All right, I still got a question. As for Newt Gingrich.
Okay, as far as Newt, we've known Newt since before he ran in politics. My wife used to work with him. In fact, she was part of his early staff when he was building momentum to start going into. And a quick interesting thing about Newt is that he said back then, I mean, almost 30 years ago, that he was going to be president and that he was going to run and he would know when it was the right time. So that's just an interesting tidbit.
All right, so tell you what, and I'm, if you can stay through the break, I want to just discuss this with you one more moment, okay?
Okay.
But the question is, if someone has an affair, not out to condemn someone for having an affair, there's redemption, there can be forgiveness, there can be restoration, right? But
right. That
implies, though, dishonesty, deception, a weakness in character somewhere. If you've known them this long, how about the affairs, the third marriage, and that color things? All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I've been talking about the pedophile elephant in the gay activist closet as it relates to the Penn State scandal. I'll have an article up on that shortly. I want to just share one more element of that story with you. Before we're done today, but I want to grab a few calls first. So, James, back to you just on our other question, the Newt Gingrich question, and just a short answer. But if you've known Newt Gingrich this long, your wife worked with him years back, again, we see the tremendous qualities and the gifts and the wisdom and so on, but isn't there a major moral question because of affairs? I mean, that means someone's acting deceitfully. That means that they're putting a desire for another woman above family and covenant and commitment that was made. Doesn't that disturb you?
Oh, yes. It disturbed me then. And the possibility of it not being dealt with would be a strong consideration before you could, for him personally. But he says that he's dealt with that. As a minister and as a Christian, the scriptures pretty plain that, you know, anyone caught in the transgression, that we who are spiritual
right,
should
we
restore,
want to restore
him in a spirit of gentleness. So
the only quote I heard, and then maybe we could take this up another day, but the only quote I heard did not express sufficient responsibility and contrition. It was explaining by being so focused on what was happening in America that he was so concerned about what was happening in America that he let these other things happen, which, just generally speaking, when there's true repentance, I'm not judging him. I believe in restoration. I believe in mercy. If every one of us held ourselves up to the light of God, we'd be in dire, deep trouble forever. But normally, there's a complete recognition. I blew it. I sinned. There's no excuse. It's horrific, and I've dealt with the roots of it. But hey, listen, since you have some background there, maybe we can chat about this another day. All right, James?
We'd love to.
All right. Thanks, man.
God bless.
Okay. Before we get back to the question about priests serving, Frank in New York City was telling me that you can be married and then be ordained as a priest and remain married, Catholic priest. I was not aware of that. But just to give you context, friends, about some of the great concern I have about what's happening with gay activist curricula, there is a Harvey Milk Day. It's celebrated in California. It's now celebrated worldwide. Some have made it into Harvey Milk Week. It commemorates the life and death of this gay pioneer politician. He's been celebrated in an Academy Award-winning film. But according to gay journalist Randy Schultz, at age 11, Milk began attending performances of the New York Metropolitan Opera, where he met with, quote, wandering hands, and soon was engaged in brief trysts with grown men after the performances. While still in junior high, he, quote, dove headfirst into the newly discovered subculture, and by the age of 14, Milk was, quote, leading an active homosexual life. As he grew older, the pattern reversed itself to the point that at age 33, Milk hooked up with a 16-year-old named Jack McKinley, one of a number of young men with whom he was intimate. And he celebrated, we have a day celebrating him in the schools? Doesn't matter whatever accomplishments he had, that just that history alone would exclude you. It'll all be covered in my article, The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet, which will be out shortly. And it's also covered in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay, Very quickly, about Catholic priests, Louise, lost Louise in Boston, but she said they can be married. I just, then why not get married first and then become a priest? I thought you had to be pledged to be celibate for life. Dave in White Plains, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi there, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call. Let me clarify. I am a devout Catholic for the last 57 years. There is no ambiguity. The priests take a vow of celibacy, period. It's not optional. The priests that are married, you will find, were previous Methodist or Lutheran, and there might be other Protestant denominations, who crossed over from their religion over to Catholicism with agreements and whatever else behind the diocesan rule books. And they've devoted their lives over to Catholic, but they came in married, so they were allowed to stay married. But as far as any Tom, Dick, or Harry that wants to be a priest and be married, no. There is no option. You want to be a Catholic priest from just after high school on. You go to the cemetery, seminary.
You didn't mean that. As a lifelong Catholic, did you mean that slip of the tongue there, Dave? I won't hold you to it. I won't hold you to it.
Actually, be honest with you, my wife left me for somebody else a year ago.
Oh.
And it would appear our marriage is going to get annulled. And I am seriously considering the priesthood. But the only way for me to do that is for the marriage to be annulled, which is to say the marriage never really existed. That's another issue. But I really don't want people to listen to your show. Not that I have any say about it, but to listen to your show and think, oh, gee, it's optional for priests to be married? Absolutely not.
All right. Thanks for weighing in. I'm sorry to hear about your own personal situation, and we also will overlook the Freudian slip there, all right?
Take care now.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, one more call. Lucia in Summers, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Your previous caller pretty much answered it, but my understanding was that the married priests from the Episcopal Church were welcomed after that bishop was ordained who was gay.
So there
was a lot of priests that wanted to remain faithful to the church but couldn't because of that situation. So they were welcomed into the Catholic
Church. I'll tell you, though, if I was a young man and I wanted to serve in the Catholic Church, but I definitely wanted to be married, then why not get ordained in another denomination?
Yeah, there's no shortcut to it.
Right. I mean, obviously, your conscience. All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. All right, friends, you can still weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, and answer the question about voting for Newt Gingrich. And be looking for my article, The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet. We'll let you know probably tomorrow where it has been posted or where it is about to be posted, but this is also too hot to handle. But, of course, we tackle it here on the Line of Fire. Let me say once more that I believe the great majority of homosexual men hearing about the Penn State scandal are also repulsed and grieved over it and renounce it. There is, however, a double standard, a hypocrisy that must be addressed. Okay, this week only, doing something we've never done before, my Jeremiah commentary. Over 500 pages. Anyone can use it that's a serious student of the Word. You'll find it eye-opening, life-changing. It comes together with Ezekiel and Lamentations. Over 900 pages of commentary. It's only $45. You can get it today for $35. But, here's the deal. I specially recorded a two-hour introduction where I introduce the book of Jeremiah in depth and then go through chapter 1 in depth. A two-hour DVD not available elsewhere for purchase. We're giving you that for free as well. So it's a great value and great input for your own spiritual life and life in the Word. Call to order at 1-800-278-9978. We'll pay the postage, too, even though it's a big, fat book. 1-800-278-9978 or order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, let us live in such a way that if God shined the light of His Spirit on our lives, it would not condemn us. It would not destroy us. It would not drive us away. Rather, it would bring us further to the truth because we're walking in the truth. Would you vote for someone like Newt Gingrich to be president, a man who seems to have so much wisdom, so much to offer, and yet is on his third marriage?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the more we have these Republican presidential debates, the more this one gets exposed or this one gets exposed, or someone you really liked comes out weak, or someone you weren't thinking about a lot comes out looking better. And it leads me to a question about a longtime political leader in our nation, a man who is known for a strong stance on faith, the importance of faith in political decisions, the importance of God in our nation. A man who is well-spoken, a man who is wise in many ways, a man who presents himself as a statesman, and often seems to be the most stately of all the candidates during the debates, and yet a man who has been married three times, the result of two affairs. Could you vote for that man as president? Who am I speaking of? Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich. I've been asking that question for over an hour now on our Facebook page, Ask D.R. Brown on Facebook, as well as my personal page. Those that want to join my personal page, it filled up to the limit a long time ago, the 5,000 limit, so we've had the Ask Dr. Brown page since then, but I'll often post questions in both places and draw on those answers during the broadcast here. So my question to you, would you vote for Newt Gingrich as president? 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. A few other things in the news I want to get into as well today. Online again, Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask D.R. Brown. Let's think about this for a little while. I can't put a number on this, but I imagine the great majority of you listening share biblical convictions with me. Obviously, we wouldn't agree on everything, but we share biblical convictions. We share the importance of morality. We share the importance of family life. I would imagine the great majority listening are pro-life, believe in the sanctity of life in the womb, are strongly against the redefining of marriage to make it the union of two people as opposed to the union of a man and a woman. We probably stand together on many, many other moral issues. Yet it was striking to me that as we were getting closer to the elections last year, that some of our major Republican candidates have been married and divorced. And that's not the unforgivable sin, but it's certainly a serious issue. Now, there are divorces that are not sin, although every divorce falls short of God's ideal and of the marital commitments people made. But some of you are the victims of divorce, and the last thing I want you to feel is that you're in sin or condemned because of it, or there can be legitimate reasons for divorce. Needless to say, John McCain said that his greatest failure was his divorce. Now he's running as a remarried man. This is the last election for president. And the Democrats that we would look at, even though I'm not identifying as Republican versus Democrat, but the Democrats whom we would look at as anti-family values, their candidates were not divorced and remarried. And as much as I deplore many of the moral stands of our president, Mr. Obama, I'm glad to see the example of a married man raising his kids in the White House, especially in the African-American community where marriage has been so decimated and so many kids are raised separated from both father and mother. So they're either raised by mother or in some cases father. So here we have someone like Newt Gingrich, who in many ways is a great example, in many ways, as I said, is a statesman and full of wisdom and carries himself at the debates with such insight and integrity. And yet, married three times, the result of two affairs. Has he repented? Has he worked through these things? Is he trustworthy now? Is this an example of God's redemption? Or is this the kind of example you don't want to put in the White House? Would you vote for him if he were the candidate against President Obama? 866-34-TRUTH.
Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you're following the news, then you would have heard reports that the Supreme Court has now agreed to review what is called Obamacare. You may be asking me to weigh in on this. I have not focused on this through the years, nor do I feel I have special insight on this. So listen to others that can weigh in with insight on this, the pros and cons of the discussion. If at some point I feel I've got something to offer, I will. But I'm not just out to give opinions without substance. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. So Newt Gingrich soaring in the polls. He was way out. I counted him out months back, especially when his campaign staff, a lot of it resigned, and I heard some were going over to join Governor Perry. I thought, okay, this is not going to work, but he stayed with it. He stayed in there. Does he have sufficient funding? Does he have a sufficient network? Let's not even discuss that. Let's not discuss the viability of him as a candidate. Let's not look at this just as a political discussion. Could he win? But could you, would you vote for him? Would his moral failures in the past and the fact that he's been married three times disqualify him in your sight? Ronald Reagan was divorced and remarried. We look at him as one of our greatest conservative presidents in the 20th century. But when you have the known affairs and these other scandals, would that disqualify him in your eyes? Or would you say he has so many other good qualities I believe in? I would vote for him. 866-34-TRUTH. October 30th of this year, there is an article posted. CNA is a Catholic news agency. If I've got that wrong, forgive me. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich said Catholics should pray about the decision of whom to support for public offices and then vote according to their consciences. Gingrich, a convert who entered the Catholic Church in 2009, is running for the Republican presidential nomination. Gingrich told CNA on October 24th that he believes the single biggest threat to America today is the attack against the Judeo-Christian tradition and the effort to drive God out of public life and eliminate the understanding that our rights come from our Creator. I like a lot of what he has to say. I like how he stands. I like how he would do in a debate against Mr. Obama. I have questions about other issues. So here's an exact quote from Gingrich. The single biggest threat to America today is, quote, the attack against the Judeo-Christian tradition and the effort to drive God out of public life and eliminate the understanding that our rights come from our Creator. The former speaker explained that he was motivated to run for president by the current political situation in America. Quote, the United States faces the most serious election since 1860. Quote, our challenges are so great and the consequence of choosing American exceptionalism or class warfare and bureaucratic socialism is so large that as a citizen, I felt compelled to run. Quote, any leader should seek God's guidance. Quote, the teachings of the church, meaning the Catholic Church, inform my thinking about solving earthly problems. And on and on. He has signed the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life Presidential Leadership Pledge. The pledge asks candidates to commit to nominating federal judges who are dedicated to, quote, applying the original meaning of the Constitution, selecting, quote, only pro-life appointees for relevant cabinet and executive branch positions, supporting legislation to, quote, permanently end all taxpayer funding of abortion, and working toward a law to, quote, protect unborn children who are capable of feeling pain from abortion. Gingrich has also expressed support for efforts to defend marriage. Quote, I helped author the Defense of Marriage Act, which the Obama administration should be protecting in court. I think if that fails and it is under attack, in fact, I'll come back to that shortly, you have no choice except a constitutional amendment. Well, I appreciate him helping author the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. I appreciate him saying plainly that we cannot be messing with the foundations of marriage, namely that marriage is the union of a man and woman for life. At the same time, isn't divorce a severe violation of that? Isn't two divorces and three marriages something that does not defend marriage? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. James in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you today?
Blessed, man. How about you?
All right. Hey, let me give you a slightly different way of analyzing the problem that you're presenting to us, okay?
Go for it.
If you are trying to, like you, when you said a minute ago, you know, does one thing outweigh or all these other things? When you start balancing like that, it sort of depends on where you put the fulcrum that your thing is balancing on. But what about looking at it as the gift that he has? Okay, so, you know, like the Bible talks about diversity of gifts, right? So maybe Newt has a gift for some things, but not other things. Like maybe he's not good with marriage like and Matt. Such. You know what I mean?
Well, if a woman would be rightly concerned to be married to someone who's been married three times, if you have a question about that person as a husband, wouldn't that be a lesser responsibility than president?
Well, I think it's a different responsibility, it involves different dynamics. And like I say, I think it's a different gift. Like, okay, as a musician yourself, right? Now, you know some good musicians, right? But you wouldn't necessarily put some of them on drums. You'd put them on guitar or keyboards or whatever. That depends on what their gift is. So it seems like maybe Newt could have the gift for, I mean, he seems like he has a great gift for history and politics and, you know, analysis and remembering stuff and applying what he knows. Seems like he's got a great gift for that, but maybe he's just not so good, you know, or he hasn't been so far. I mean, maybe now he has gotten in the groove on the marriage thing, but, you know, I can still see his gift could be for one thing and not the other.
All right, so let me discuss this in a little more depth with you, okay? A couple things. First, I certainly hope that his life is in order, that his marriage is in order, that where he sinned, he's repented and been forgiven.
Right.
And that's the same with every one of us. There are areas in our lives where we've fallen short. Some are public, some are private, some are big, some are small. But every one of us, we've fallen short somewhere. We've repented. We've asked God for mercy. And he's worked for our restoration if we've truly repented, whatever the thing is.
Right.
It could be something only God knows. It could be something the whole world knows. But every one of us, we've had to confess sin to God. We've had to repent. We've had to make things right with other people. So we all believe, hopefully, in repentance and restoration. Does something disqualify someone for public service? There are certain lines that would be crossed. Obviously, you couldn't trust a person in public service. The past is just too monstrous or too large. But here's the other thing. When we talk about different gifts, Paul never considers morality or marital commitment a gift. You know what I'm saying? You may have
a
gift for music.
Gift,
I may have a gift for art. Someone may have it, which I don't. But someone may have a gift for landscaping. Somebody else may have take it spiritually. Someone may have a special gift of giving. Someone may have a gift of administration. But morality, marriage commitment, that has to do with choices that we make and commitment to God and truth as opposed to just a gifting.
I mean, but what about wisdom itself being, you know, a gift? Like, you know, like when Solomon asked for wisdom. Okay, well, you know, maybe Newt has wisdom, in, you know, about some things. I mean, I know myself. Okay, my ability to accumulate wisdom has changed over the years, right? And
yep.
There's things that I have wisdom about now that I look back on and say, "Whoa, what was I thinking?" Well, I know what I was thinking sometimes, and I don't like to think about what I was thinking. But see what I'm saying? Wisdom.
All right, see, I'm all for embracing the positive gift. I just don't want anyone to think that we're saying that moral choices have to do with whether you're gifted to be moral. Or staying faithful to your spouse has to do with whether you're gifted with a monogamous gift.
But I think I agree with you. There's a moral absolute involved here. Okay.
Okay. But he may have a gift of wisdom that could make him a great leader. The question is, would the moral failures undercut the other things? That's the question. But I appreciate the gift of wisdom to lead. Solomon had it, and some people have it, and some don't. I accept that.
Okay, but I think you have to agree that in marriage, okay, people have to learn. Some people have to go through marriage counseling, and everyone has to learn in a marriage, you know, how to be married and make your spouse happy and be happy and have a righteous life. And it doesn't just come to you. I mean, sometimes it's very difficult, and it takes an effort to learn.
It takes an effort, but it doesn't take a gift.
Someone may have the gift
of sensitivity.
Look,
we are commanded, for example, as husbands, we're commanded to love our wives. We're commanded to love them as Christ loved the church. We're commanded to lay our lives down for them, etc. I may not have the same gift of sensitivity that another man has, but I have full ability in Jesus to love my wife and to care for her and to nurture her and to not be selfish. But hey, James, I've enjoyed the conversation. We got to run, but thank you for getting us going in an insightful and interesting way. God bless you, man.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to share some reader comments, listener comments when we come back, and give me an update on the attempted repeal of DOMA.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire on this Monday, 866-34-TRUTH. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich? Would his questionable moral past with two affairs and three marriages disqualify him? Would you say he's repented, that's past? Or would you say, hey, he is too qualified in too many ways for me to not vote for him, and he stands for so many things I stand for, and he's articulate. 866-348-7884. Facebook, you can weigh in at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And in a moment, I'll talk to you about the attempted repeal of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which Newt Gingrich helped author. Let me look at some responses I've gotten. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich as president? Nope. There's currently no one in either party who doesn't make me wish I lived in another country. That's an interesting response, Bob, and I'm sure others feel that way. To me, these constant debates really have the ability to tear down one after the other and expose one after the other. I mean, who knew that Rick Perry was such a bad debater? I had high hopes for Governor Perry, and he still may emerge as the man. God may raise him up and use him to lead our nation. And he's covered his most recent debate gaffe, as well as you could, and apparently performed much, much better in the last one. But you keep going after each other, after each other, after each other. It's going to make people look worse and worse and worse. Now, interestingly, I remember when George H.W. Bush was debating Ronald Reagan, and when they were presidential candidates against each other, and Bush made reference to Reagan's economics as voodoo economics, and then ended up being chosen as the vice president. So those things happen. Robert, yes, hopefully he has repented of his ways and made amends. While not ideal related to previous moral issues, I think he realizes the heritage of our country and would make a good president. Reagan was divorced, too. At the rate we're going, a president could soon be living with someone and no one would care. Isn't that the case with the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo? Isn't that the case with him? Isn't he living with someone out of wedlock and he's elected governor of New York? Jason, he is also, speaking of Newt, endorsed man-made global warming. As far as the divorces, the question is he proud of his affairs? Has he repented? He has the entire Library of Congress in his head and would be the one most likely to clobber Obama in a debate, but we have to stop settling for moderates and expect conservative or biblical results as the Democrats continue to normalize left-wing radicalism. Michelle Bachmann is my pick. Karen, the failures with Newt and his strengths, all true and in greater measure than anyone else in the field as far as his strengths, hand down. I also think he's the only one who can decisively win any debate with Barack Obama. But he had his affairs. He isn't perfect. No man is. If we wait for the sinless man, we'll have to wait for the second coming. I wish he had behaved better in this regard, but I don't think him guilty of anything that should make him unelectable. In my opinion, if the GOP fails to nominate him, they have elected Barack Obama to his second term. Let's see. Elizabeth, Newt Gingrich is the only chance for defeating Obama. In either debate or personal charisma, he is a senior statesman and knows what our country has had and can have again. He's not a wild hare. Kermit, anybody but Obama, A-B-O. Seriously, Of course, all of the GOP rivals have their faults, things about them that could give one pause. There is no perfect candidate, but I would absolutely vote for Gingrich. And Earl, in my humble opinion, at this point, we're in a position where we have to vote for the best of a bad bunch, like choosing fatty foods where you die slowly over arsenic. That's interesting karma. I would vote for him. Lynn, if you see Newt is seen as having tremendous wisdom and being a spokesman for God and faith, all I can say is you've been made unaware by his words because you sure aren't watching his actions and personal ethics, which seem to me to tell more about the man's heart. Lynn, I raise both issues. I raise both issues. He has wisdom in certain ways, and he is a clear spokesman for God and faith in certain ways, and I've said that his moral actions may disqualify that. Didn't I say that, Lynn? That's my whole point. Robert, I believe he's also a one-world government man. Diane, as we all know, no one is without sin. Character is not judged on any word, one word or action. However, Mr. Gingrich has most definitely allowed the world to glimpse his character by how he has led his personal life. Perhaps his two previous wives were not the right one, in quotes, but then that speaks to judgment and discernment. I would not vote for him. These are all fair comments to me. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Harry in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes, I would vote for Newt if he's the one that receives the nomination for two reasons. Number one, we don't know, number one, if he is a Christian. And if we treat it that he may not be a Christian or don't know, he's a member of the world, and we're not to judge the world.
Okay.
And number two, because of Obama's background and the people that he's associated with along the way, there's just no comparison, you know. And like some of the other comments were made, you know, the perfect man is not there. He's in heaven, Jesus Christ.
Right. So is there anything that would disqualify someone then, in your view, Harry, if they were not a true Christian? Is there any conduct, anything in their character that would disqualify them?
If they were not a true Christian?
Yes. In other words, we're not judging him as being a believer. God knows whether he is or not. But just based on your criterion of we're not judging the people in the world by biblical standards, is there anything, if it had been, say, Bob Madoff, and we know all the money that he was guilty of stealing from
people.
Well,
I mean, of course not.
Okay, you know. So there are lines that would be crossed where you would say, I couldn't vote for this person because of their ethics or morals.
Yeah, and he would not be my first pick out of all the candidates up there right now. But
who would you vote for?
Pardon me?
Who would you vote for?
Well, I'm seriously considering Michelle Bachmann. She is just solid. I believe her to be a Christian. I believe everything she's put forth is correct. I was disturbed a little bit about one comment that she made Saturday night in the debate about waterboarding would be a form of torture.
Well, she said, I thought she said it wouldn't be a form of torture, but I may have missed that.
No,
I just caught a couple of seconds.
You're correct. That's what I meant, yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, listen, got to run, but Harry, thank you.
No, I'm sorry. She said it would be a form of torture.
She said it would. All right, tell you what, we'll check on that, all right, because I thought it was the opposite. But thank you for weighing in, Harry. I appreciate it. Okay, we're going to get into this more, and I've got some important news that ties in that is important. So stay tuned for more. This week only, we've got a special package with my commentary on Jeremiah, which is packaged together with Ezekiel and Lamentations commentary. So over 900 pages of commentary, 550 pages of my Jeremiah commentary, which if you're a serious student of the word, you will find absolutely enlightening, impacting, life-changing, together with a two-hour DVD where I introduce the book of Jeremiah and get into chapter one in great depth. We have it at a special reduced price, and we're paying the postage. Call to order at 1-800-278-9978. Let's dig in the word together. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, it's November 14th, which means less than a year before the presidential elections. Can you imagine what kind of year it's going to be? We have so much shaking taking place in the world. Berlusconi steps down in Italy, change in leadership in Greece, European Union shaking. In the Middle East, Israel has said that there could be an attack on Iran as early as December 25th. Could you imagine what the world Christmas season will look like with all the potential upheaval? And be assured, if there's an attack on Iran, it is something that we will feel here in America. Be assured that if gas prices start rising like crazy as a result of an Israeli attack on Iran, this could happen, that there will be those in America that will rise up with hatred towards Israel because money matters to people. And then within America, the Occupy protests getting uglier. Here within America, a fresh push now among Democratic senators to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. And now the presidential campaign heating up more and more. And the question of which Republican candidate will emerge. It's going to be a very intense year. This is one of those times where, spiritually speaking, you want to put your seatbelt on. Spiritually speaking, you want to be locked in. Spiritually speaking, you want to be focused on the Lord and with your own life clean and walking in faith, because it's going to be quite a ride. The good news is the righteous will never be shaken. I've got a question I've been asking our listeners today about Newt Gingrich. Would you vote for him to be president? He was one of the authors of the Defense of Marriage Act. At the same time, he's been married three times. He was leading the charge, or helping lead the charge, in the impeachment proceedings over the immoral acts of President Bill Clinton, deplorable, shameful acts. And from what I understand, or according to reports I've read, Mr. Gingrich at that time was involved in an affair. Obviously, every one of us, one way or another, in our thought life, in our attitude, in our action, our word, deed, somewhere we another, we have all fallen short. Somewhere or another, we've all sinned against God and other people. We've had to confess. We've had to ask forgiveness. We've had to be made right with God. If we sinned against other people, sometimes there had to be restoration. And we all know the mercy of God and his restoring power. Yet, would the past history of Mr. Gingrich disqualify him in your eyes as a candidate? Would you say, hey, he's not perfect, and what's past is past, and he's been married now for, what, 10, 11 years, and he is a loud, clear voice for faith. He is a loud, clear voice for the importance of God in our culture. Talks about the destructive effects on our culture by the removing of Judeo-Christian ethic. He's held to that for a long time. Would you say he's the man to vote for, and he's the one that could defeat Mr. Obama if you plan to vote against Mr. Obama, as I do, based primarily on his moral decisions and his handling of affairs with Israel? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And as the Senate Judiciary Committee has said, okay, let's discuss whether the Defense of Marriage Act should be repealed, some of the nation's top companies, are you ready? Such as Google. I'm using a Google browser right now on my computer as I speak with you, as I look at our caller board. Such as Google, CBS, Starbucks, and Nike have joined forces in a legal brief asking a federal court to force the federal government to recognize, quote, gay marriage. Also signed in the November 1st brief were Aetna, Levi, Microsoft, I'm using Microsoft right now, New Balance, Time Warner, we've got Time Warner Internet in our home, and Xerox, as well as the cities of Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and New York City. All total, 70 businesses, cities, law firms, and trade and professional firms signed the brief. Wow. Wake up call. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire this Monday, 866-34-TRUTH. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich? Certainly a statesman, certainly a man in many ways with wisdom, with a great historical perspective, actually a professor and an author as well as a politician, but then one with a very blemished personal life. And I'm not here to throw stones at others. I'm here to raise honest questions. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask D.R. Brown on Facebook. All right. There are allegations against Herman Cain. Now, I personally don't believe that all these charges coming against him are coming against him because he's a black man. I believe they're coming against him because he's a conservative who has been right at the top of the Republican presidential group of potential candidates. So I don't see this as a racial attack against him. Any more than when Bill Clinton was exposed, that was a racial attack against him. Now, if the charges are false, then it's underscored to me it's because he is conservative, all right? If the charges are true, then that would be a question to me because he's not saying full disclosure. He's not saying, hey, I blew it, I've repented. Here's where I got counseling. Here's where this was fixed. Here, my wife and I worked through these issues I had. So that would be a question. If the charges were true and he did not show in the past where he had dealt with these properly, where he had repented, where he had gotten things right, where he had gotten solid spiritual counseling and so on, then that moral blemish would tarnish things for me. As much as I like him in many ways and have entertained the possibility, hey, if he was running, can I have the joy of voting for him? Absolutely. But it would be a question mark. Now, isn't it worse, though? Even if those charges are true, isn't it worse to have had affairs while married and then to remarry, than to marry the person you had an affair with? And that's an ongoing thing. Or, again, is that not the issue with who you vote for as president? Is that secondary to how they would handle the economy? Is that secondary to how they would deal with foreign affairs? Is that secondary to would they fight for the life of the unborn? Would they fight against the redefinition of marriage? But you say, isn't it hypocritical to be married three times and yet to be standing for the Defense of Marriage Act? I think these are important questions to ask. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Would you vote for him? Yes or no? And why? And I want to say again, I am not standing here as judge and jury. I am not standing here as one who says none of us have ever done anything wrong on any level. None of us have ever fallen short. What I am saying is if we ever fall short, we must demonstrate the fruit of repentance. When I was a brand new believer, I lost my temper terribly with other folks in the church and just outlandish, stupid stuff I said. My next opportunity, got up publicly and asked forgiveness. Now, most of the people didn't know what happened, but some did, and I felt I had to do it. And boy, what a life-giving thing for, you know, one guy just was yelling at the phone and, you know, just all this. I got to talk to the pastor now and just stupid, idiotic. In fact, let me give you the details. I didn't realize this, but it's a little church building that I knew. And there was a little office up in the front. So if you're looking at the building, you've got like the little pulpit area, little altar area, and then over to the left, a little office. So if you went in early, had to talk to the pastor, you'd be in there. Well, I didn't realize when I kept calling, it was a New Year's Eve service, and I didn't get picked up. The people didn't pick me up because I was just angry and threatening and all this stuff. And I was brand new believer and had a lot of junk to still deal with in my life. Well, I kept calling, and then finally they just took the phone off the hook. And what I didn't realize is when I called, you could hear during the service the phone ringing. And then this one guy has to get up and walk down the aisle on the side and pick up the phone and talk and then hang up and then go back. So I was disrupting everything. Anyway, that was early on. I realized, okay, I've got to make things right. I've got to make things right. I've got to get up. I've got to publicly say, I sinned. Forgive me. And I remember the guy that had been answering the phone What a lesson for me in the grace and mercy of God these believers were, these brothers and sisters in the Lord. When I went and said, forgive me, man, I'm so sorry, and he just smiled at me. He just laughed, just like, hey, man. Just it's so much mercy extended to me. It's often hard to humble ourselves, but if we do, Proverbs 28:13 says that if we cover our sins, we won't receive mercy, right? But if we confess, we'll be forgiven. We'll find mercy from God. If we cover our sins, we won't succeed. So if someone has blown it and they say, I blew it, this was wrong, this was a serious moral failure, this was whatever the issue was, I spoke out of turn, I spoke against someone, I sinned, I was guilty of this. If they acknowledge it before God, and every one of us has had to acknowledge something before God and probably something before man as well, and we humble ourselves and we confess, God, forgive me, God, cleanse me, God, wash me, and we fix things where we have to make restoration. It could be someone in ministry having to step down. It could be someone that's been unethical in business having to restore money and then rebuild trust. Amen to all of that. So I'm not here saying that you cannot move forward. I'm just raising the question of once you're elevated to the presidency, what does that mean? What signal does that send? I've said this a few times today. I'll say it again. As much as I deplore some of the moral stands of Mr. Obama with regard to homosexuality, with regard to abortion, and take strong exception to the way he's treated Israel in many ways, as much as I deplore that and could not vote for him in good conscience because of those things, the fact is he is a man who's been married once, and he and his wife seem devoted to each other and to their children. And that is a very positive example that people can learn from, especially in the African-American community where that example has been under such attack in recent years. So I raise these issues, though, so we can have a constructive conversation. And I'm going to try to write an article on this tonight that would be posted sometime tomorrow. Todd in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I want to say, before I get to the nude issue and everything, I just want to say I got a CD, I think, or a DVD from you, and I'm excited to listen to that, and I'm grateful to be a partner in the ministry there.
Oh, man, listen, I thank you so much, and I've been getting so many emails and words of encouragement from listeners and from folks. I've been sending them to my wife as they've been coming in, and Nancy and I just said it's pretty wild to read some of this in terms of the impact that by God's grace we can have, and it's a joint thing. It's a team effort. And as folks pray for us and support us, it's really touching lives. So thank you, Todd. That means a lot to you. And I trust the material we sent you will minister to you. But thank you for sharing that.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate Dr. Brown. And I know when you're doing the ministry, the encouraging words and notes that people just take a second to write mean everything to you. So I just wanted to let you know that. And let's go back to where we are here on this debate now. And you know, Obama, you want Obama is the guy. It's unfortunate. Obama, I see a person I can't trust. When I see when I see Barack Obama, okay, I see a guy who in my opinion, and I know politics is the dirtiest game in the world. They say New York real estate is the dirtiest game, but politics is the dirtiest game. And I see a guy who says, says the right things in public, but behind the scenes, he's never stood for Jesus Christ. He's never stood up for Jesus Christ, which is a shame. And he's been deceived by the devil, okay? And the people that pull the strings, the George Soros, I'm in the political game. I know the game, okay? Mm-hmm. And he has no integrity. What you see on the outside, like John F. Kennedy, the dashing young president who was having an affair with Marilyn Monroe. Don't be deceived because he looks like a family man and this and that. I mean,
okay,
that's a fair
question, fair observation. But just we're coming up against a break.
Go ahead,
please.
On Newt Gingrich, you know, you have Republicans over there, okay, that are better for the country, okay. and representing, you know, when Barack Obama yesterday, and I know you're up against a hard break, when Barack Obama said yesterday that the American people are lazy and this and that, he's always at every turn talking down to the American people. I wouldn't have him coach my little league baseball team. That's how bad of a leader he is. And as Donald Trump said today, he said it's despicable and disgusting to have a president of the United States talking down about lazy.
All right, hey Todd, listen, gotta jump in, gotta run. We'll be back with more calls on the other side of the break. By the way, I wrote an article, probably be out tomorrow as well, called "The Pedophile Elephant in the Gay Activist Closet." It's a little bit too volatile, too hot to touch. We'll see where it gets published and posted shortly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I get back to presidential questions, 866-34-TRUTH, a heartwarming story. Yeah, sarcasm coming. Oh, in the Toronto Zoo, Pedro and Buddy, known as gay penguins, they were more interested in each other than in the penguin ladies. Well, they've been separated. They've been separated because they need them to father some more penguin babies. So they've got them circulating with some of the female penguins, and they're separated from each other. There's been outrage over this. People very, very upset about this. So the good news, they're going to be back together after they've inseminated their female partners. And hopefully it'll be maybe by the spring that they'll be back together. And just for those that have been following that case, you probably were very concerned. So I just want to give you that good news. Yeah, I cover that too in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the argument that, well, homosexuality is in the animal world as well, so we should accept it. We got all kinds of things in the animal world. You've got certain species where after mating, the female kills the male. You've got species that eat the children, eat the offspring, and on and on. And plus, humans are not animals in that way. We are a separated class. Oh, anyway, just thought I'd share that with you. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Would you vote for Newt Gingrich? Some comments and thoughts on some of the other political candidates right now. Grace in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I thank you very much for the book that you sent on What Did the Jews Think. But I want to...
Yes, yeah, I remember talking to you, Grace. Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to comment on the statement that you made just before the break about Herman King and the allegations against him.
Yes.
I don't think that it is true. The reason that I say that is, why would anybody want to wait 10 to 15 years or maybe even 20 before bringing up such junk like that, only just to smear the person when they see there is an opportunity that he just might do well at whatever he's going for, like Clarence Thomas. Remember him?
Oh,
and
yes.
And Anita Hill?
Of course.
Of course.
So Grace,
she waited
10
years before she brought that junk out about him.
Right.
But he overcame that.
Right. He overcame that, and he's serving with distinction as a Supreme Court justice. With regard to Herman Cain, of course, I have a major question mark as to whether the accusations are true. I'm suspicious about it, like anyone else, but let me say a few things. Number one, some of these ladies did come forth years back and got settlements. Now, whether it was a false accusation then and they were just trying to get a settlement, whether they falsely understood something that happened and it was just easier to say, hey, we're not going to be bogged down with this, just settle with them, that could be the case. But they could say they did come forward years back, that would be one thing. And now that he's a front-running candidate, they're outraged over this and feel the world needs to know. Now, again, I'm very suspicious, but that would be the answer. It would remind me of a case, a much more severe and horrific case, with Pastor Ted Haggard, one of the top evangelical leaders in America a few years back. And sadly, he was involved in homosexual activity with a male prostitute, even with alleged drug use with that as well. And it was anonymous sex. In other words, the prostitute didn't know his real name or who he was dealing with. And then when he saw Pastor Haggard on TV campaigning against same-sex marriage and civil unions, he said, I've got to come forward and expose him. So someone could look at it like that. But again, I have suspicion as well, Grace. But thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, the question that I'm wondering about, and it's not to throw stones. It's simply to ask a question. Are the allegations against Herman Cain, which have raised questions for some, and others would say that there's a better way to handle it, the better way is to say, I'm not guilty. Everyone who knows me knows I'm not guilty. Let's sit down with live cameras and with everyone involved, and let's sort this out. Let the facts come out. Let the truth come out. You know, if you're not guilty, you want all the truth to come out. If you are guilty, or if you did things that were unwise, you don't want the whole truth to come out. I'm talking about human nature. Obviously, if you're willing to repent of sin, you want everything to come out so that it can be fixed before God, at least be honest before God, and you hope that the fewest possible people know so you can repent and move on with life. You don't want the whole world to know your shame and sin. But full disclosure, by all means, if you've got nothing to hide. So some would say it wasn't handled the best way, but here's a question. Are people now going to attack Newt Gingrich about past affairs? I mean, could you imagine that happening? It would just be considered too much mudslinging. Could you imagine campaigns? Maybe it would happen. Campaigns against Newt Gingrich saying he's been married 3 times. President Obama's been married 1 time. He's had 2 known affairs. Would that, I mean, I don't know if that would be tolerated. And yet these are issues. Someone posted a question on my Facebook page. Are we looking for him to be an elder or the president of the United States? And my question would be, well, could you stand for the Defense of Marriage Act and stand against the redefinition of marriage while at the same time having been married 3 times? These are questions. I really like Newt Gingrich. I'm impressed by so much of what he has to say. In fact, I've noticed him more now than I have in past years. And I've only watched snippets of the debates, but just listening to the quotes and different things, he is a statesman. And in certain ways, I'd love to see him as the president. In other ways, I have questions. So we're just thinking this through together in a constructive way. We'll have some articles out on this and some other issues in the next couple of days. We decided to do something we've never done on the Line of Fire. It's with my Jeremiah commentary. I've been thrilled by comments from folks taking my Jeremiah class here, a night class that we're doing Tuesday nights at Fire, as to how helpful the commentary is. And these are not just serious Bible students who've been studying the scriptures in the original languages for years. These are people that are just interested in the word, and they're finding the commentary really helpful. It's a big commentary. It's 550 pages. Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible, by the way. And it comes in one big volume, over 900 pages, along with commentaries on Lamentations and Ezekiel. So you get a lot in it. It normally sells for $45, but here's what we've done. We've reduced the price to $35. We're paying the postage. Trust me, we're not getting I don't know what's left once we do that with a book this size. But we're adding in a 2-hour DVD that I did for our students because I had to be away the first week. A 1-hour introduction to the book of Jeremiah followed by a 1-hour study of Jeremiah 1. You can't buy this DVD separately. We are throwing that in free and reducing the price and paying the postage because I think this is a great resource, but I know it's a bit more money. So $35 for probably $60 of material, and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. I think you'll find it a tremendously helpful resource to have in your library. 1-800-278-9978, or you can go online to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you can order there. Let me know when you get these resources, if they're a blessing in your life, that will encourage us as well and encourage our team here. My bottom line, whoever we elect for president is going to have a great impact on our nation. Whoever we elect for president must be a man or woman that can move us in the right direction. But let us remember what a president can or cannot do is still limited. The ultimate answer is in Jesus and a revived church transforming the nation.